I love music. I love listening to music on my iPod or on my CD, whether I'm at home or in my car. Music touches the soul, and it brings you back to a memory, back in time, in a place, perhaps to your wedding or summer, even as an adolescent or as a child. Music is so powerful that it literally touches something inside. And therefore, it's no surprise that it's a billion-dollar industry where people are willing to spend tremendous amounts of money to purchase CDs, albums, and to attend concerts. Music is, in fact, quite uplifting. But unfortunately, sometimes, even in the Jewish world, it could create tremendous machlokas. Found in the most recent New York Times article, as well as the Jewish press and the Hamodia, tomorrow, on March 9th, 2008, there's supposed to be a concert, a Jewish concert, at Madison Square Garden, but it's not happening. Why not? Maybe the Hasidic entertainer, Leibniz Schmelzer, maybe got laryngitis. But that's not what happened. You see, he was banned. Banned by 33 rabbis. Because, as the article states, the evening would cause, quote, lightheadedness that would lure young people from spiritual purity, ultimately, unfortunately, because of their decision. Unfortunate to Schmelzer, because it cost approximately $700,000. $700,000 in losses due to this ban. And as I look around the room, I see that some of you may wish to voice your opinion. Well, if you want, you can simply go to MicroPoll and you could vote. And as of right now, as we speak, the results are that 61% of the voters felt that the concert should not have been banned. 61%. I find it amazing, especially that these results occur in this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Pekudei. We find this Parsha, which seemingly is repetitive to that of the Parshiot, which we read before, specifically Tetzaveh. But nonetheless, in Parsha's Pekudei, we find a very fascinating pasuk. The second pasuk in our parsha states, "Uvetzalel ben Uri ben Chor l'mati Yehuda asa es kol asher siva Hashem es Moshe." That Betzalel did exactly every single step, everything that God had commanded Moshe. And on this, the Gemara points out that it's fascinating that Betzalel did not necessarily do as Moshe instructed, but rather the pasuk simply says that he did es kol asher siva Hashem es Moshe, that which Hashem commanded Moshe. Asher tziva oso Moshe in Ksivkan. It does not say that he did exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu told him to do. A few devarim shul amr lo rabo heskima daito lama shenemar lo Moshe Mesinai. That he did not even do every single thing that Moshe was told that should have been done for the construction of the Mishkan of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Says the Gemara, ki Moshe tziva lebetzalel lasos tchila keil v'yachakach Mishkan. It wasn't enough that Betzalel was the one who was going to build the Mishkan, as well as all the vessels therein, but it had to be done in a specific order. And Moshe Rabbeinu told Bezalel that the first thing I want you to do is to make the kelim, all the vessels, and only afterwards for you to make the building, for you to make the structure of the Mishkan. And on this, Bezalel turns to Moshe and says, I don't understand. Minhag olam lasos tchil bayis v'yachar kach mesim kelim asocho. The normal procedure, the way of the world, is that first a person finds a home to purchase, to buy, to rent, or to build, and then only afterwards they'll worry about the furniture. Why would I first buy a bunch of couches and beds and have nowhere to store them? I have no house to put them in. Similarly, Bezalel did not understand, how is it possible, Moshe, that you first want me to construct the kelim and only afterwards the Mishkan? And therefore, on this, the Gemara tells us that Moshe said, Bezalel, you are, as your name indicates, Bezalel Kael. You're clearly in the shadow of God, because you're able to tap into that which God really wanted. And what was it that he did? HaMishkan Tchila V'yachar Kach Asa Kelim. That first he made the building, the Mishkan, and only afterwards the vessels, the Kelim. We hear this Chazal, and there are numerous questions, but today I'd like to focus on the following. How could Bezalel have made such a statement against Moshe Rabbeinu, to turn to him and to question him, when Moshe tells him to do exactly A, then B, then C? That's exactly what he should have done. What right does Bezalel have to turn to Moshe and to question him? Furthermore, even though it's true that when it comes to the Minhag Olam, that typically a person will first buy a house and then buy kelim, and it really goes against the logic to do the opposite, but we know throughout the Torah there are numerous chukim, laws, due to our limited capacity of knowledge, we do not understand them. So just because Bezalel did not understand the procedure and the steps of building the Mishkan and the Kelim, why does he think that Moshe was wrong? Maybe for some reason, unknown to Bezalel, it was necessary to build first the Kelim and then only afterwards the Mishkan. Why would he think that he should do anything otherwise? And I believe there's an even stronger question. We find not in our Parsha, for the often quoted pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, the Torah which tells us, "Lo sasur min hadavar, asher yagidu lecha yamin usmol," that you may not deviate from the word that they will tell you, right or left. When the chachamim, when the great rabbis tell you to do something, one must do it and not deviate from it. Says Rashi, "Afil omelcha al yamin shehu samol v'al samol shehu yamin." Even if they tell you to go to the right and you know it's left, or they say left and you know it's right, you 100% in your guts know that they're wrong, you're not allowed to deviate from their words. You must still do it. So that being the case, why does Bezalel turn to Moshe and start asking him questions? This is not a direct violation of the Torah telling us sosor that we have an obligation to adhere to and to follow and to not deviate from the words of our sages. And the answer is that Bezalel is teaching us something quite profound in relationship to our connection to the Chachamim, to the great sages. Bezalel did not deviate from the words of the Chachamim. Bezalel did not listen to Moshe and say, "Ah, he's wrong, and he just did something completely different." No. What Bezalel did was he asked a question. he began entering into a conversation, a dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu. And he asked, I don't really understand why you told me to do this. Could you please elaborate? Can you explain it to me? Maybe once you explain it and share with me your perspective, your logic, then I will of course do whatever you say, but I'll be able to do it with a clear conscience of understanding. You see, Bezalel didn't just go out and build the Mishkan first against the command of Moshe. Instead, he asked a question. And Bezalel is showing us that there is absolutely nothing wrong with asking questions and asking questions to authority. We know this to be true. During Pesach, the Seder, the Haggadah, the perhaps most powerful prayer statement is that of a child to the father. And he asks the Arba Kushiyot the four questions, the Manishtana. And what is the Manishtana if you really think about it? The child sees things that do not make sense. So do we tell the child, just sit in the corner and observe, don't question, this is the right way of behaving? No. We want you to be involved. We want you to open up conversation and dialogue and ask questions if you don't understand them. There's nothing wrong with asking someone above you, asking your father, asking your Rebbe, please elaborate, please explain, I don't understand. Avraham Avinu even questioned God that when it came to the destruction of the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Avraham turned to Hashem and said, I don't understand. Please elaborate, why are you doing this? There must be tzaddikim, 50 righteous individuals in this city, so that the five cities should be spared. And God explained to him, unfortunately, they were not. But not only do we have the right to ask a question, we see that the sages, as we find by Hashem himself to Avram, Hashem is compelled to answer those questions and to explain so that we can have a better understanding. Because what's unique and what's so beautiful and special about the Jewish religion is that we share our knowledge. Every single person is welcome and invited and entitled to learn Torah at their leisure and to struggle and to try to go through the motions to acquire more Torah knowledge. Torah knowledge is not only for the rabbis, but every person has the ability to learn. In fact, we live in a technological age where people now have the ability more than ever to be able to learn. And it's encouraged. And one of the greatest elements of a religion is that we can question. And that is what Bezalel is teaching us. But there's an important message that once it's been explained to us, just like by Avraham, we must be mekabel. We must accept the psak of the chacham. Afil omlecha al yamin shehu smol v'al smol shehu yamin. Even if we don't agree with it, even if we think it's wrong, even if we think that their logic is completely mixed up and completely off base, we are not allowed to deviate from the words of the Chacham. So great is the religion that we're in, that we have the ability to ask questions, and the Chachamim must listen, but we also must listen when they give us a response, give us an answer. And even if we don't understand, maybe we can say something which they'll appreciate. But after they answer us, we must not deviate from their words. So this is the second thing that Bezalel is teaching. Bezalel is teaching us a profound idea that it's not a one-way street. It's not that the rabbis are the ones that always will tell us, this is the right way to go, and you have no insight to share with us. You have nothing of value. Is that true? Because every person, even the layman, has that which to contribute, have experiences, life experiences that they can share to be able to help the Chacham, to be able to understand a little bit better. And this is what Bezalel is saying. That I'm engaged in a conversation because I want to be able to share with you a perspective that you may not have considered, Moshe. And therefore, in fact, he said, look, this is not the typical way of building a house. First you have a house, then you have the furniture. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatness of a Moshe Rabbeinu is, you know what? I see your point that my initial words to you were a mistake. Going back to this concert, we see an individual similar to Moshe Rabbeinu who has a tremendous insight and the ability to listen and to think and to realize sometimes we make mistakes. Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky of Philadelphia once said regarding this concert, quote, usually we meet together. This time, with time pressing, we did not meet together. And maybe it was not the right thing. I hear those words from Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky, and I realize this is the godless, the greatness of a great man such as Rabbi Kamenetsky, that although he could easily cover up and say, this is the psak, and I'm right and we're correct, he acknowledged, just like Moshe, that maybe the words that I said, my initial command was not the right thing. We must learn from our parsha from Bezalel to listen to the poskim and not deviate from their words. But we can question. We must be given that opportunity. The opportunity to strive to understand. But we must really listen with open ears. And to do so without any biases or any preconceived notions. In conclusion, Assemblyman Hyken said it best. Said, quote, when you don't explain to the young people, you lose them, plain and simple. Let them try to explain to us. But more importantly, let us try to listen. And when we listen, Emir Tashem, we should follow. Hopefully we'll understand. But even in the event that we will not understand, nonetheless, Lo Sasur, we shall never deviate from their words.